5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome back into the Radcast.
Don't scream.
I'm sorry. Welcome back into the Radcast, everybody.
I can't hear you.
Oh, my God. Get the hell out of here. Welcome back into the Radcast, everybody. I'm Steven.
And I'm Matt. And we are in a considerably better mood about this week's movie.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
A complete 180 shift from last week.
Exactly. And of course, we will talk about it here in a second. You're correct. An absolute shift from the shit that we talked about last week. If you listened to our episode from last week, Stop or My Mom Will Shoot, you heard how much we detested that movie.
Yeah. And Stop, I don't want to watch it again.
Yeah, exactly. And we implored you that if you truly want, for any reason at all, to watch it, it's not streaming anywhere except you can buy it on Amazon or rent it on Amazon.
Yeah.
We would not suggest you do that, though.
No.
Save your money.
I mentioned it on my social media. There is a famous scene in that movie to where Sly Stallone is having a dream and he realizes he's wearing a diaper. And we somehow didn't mention it,
yeah,
even though it's like the most famous scene in the whole movie.
It's the scene you would think we would pounce on first.
Yeah. But it wasn't until after we recorded and I got home and Steven's like, how did we not mention the Sylvester Stallone in a diaper? And I was floored that we didn't mention it,
yeah.
But we're not going to retread it.
Yeah, exactly. We are so focused on this week's movie, the absolutely action-packed, just quip-driven, violence-driven, popcorniest of the popcorn movies of the 1980s, Tango and Freaking Cash.
The most fun I've had watching a movie in a long time.
Yes, we love
From start to finish, I was having a blast.
Yep. And
literally.
Yeah, exactly. Admittingly, it was the first time I ever watched it.
After
years of hearing the acclaim from people who are like, if you love 80s popcorn buddy cop movies,
yeah,
how, like, you have to watch Tango and Cash.
I bought the movie years ago. Again, yesterday was the first time I ever watched it.
Mm-hmm.
And after I watched it, I was like, how did it take me this long to get around to this?
Mm-hmm.
I bought it years ago, having never seen it, just for the fact that I'd heard that it was like fun buddy cop movie, and it's Sylvester Stallone and Kurt freaking Russell.
Uh-huh, exactly. The endlessly charming Kurt Russell, who that, of course, shines in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
But it instantly became one of my top five favorite action movies of all time.
Oh, yeah, easily.
We love Tango and Cash.
Love it.
It's one of those that I will watch over and over again.
Yeah.
And
I will show people.
Yep.
I would just like, it's just, it's so good.
It's so good. And we will get into all that momentarily. But, this is the last entry in Sly July.
Yeah.
When you hear us next after this episode drops, we're going to be in August and we're going to be trying some new things.
Yeah.
Along with doing some other movie reviews that, what are you doing?
Sorry, I felt like I was like hunching down.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We're going to be trying something different with our Radcast Ramble. We already have a couple guests on tap to help us out with that. And then we're going to be talking, as of right now, I always am leery to make announcements on the show.
You always listen
always
back
changes.
And you're like, oh, that changed.
Like, why did we say that?
Yeah.
As of right now, we still have to talk through with what works with our guests for these because they're both busy dads.
Yeah.
But we're wanting to do reviews of the first Into the Spider-Verse and then the newest Into the Spider-Verse to round out August. And then when we get into September, it's our September month where we're doing all Olsen Twins movies.
Yes, and it's going to be just me and Steven for that, which is fine.
That's always fine.
Do we want to mention our potential guest for the End of the Spider-Verse double
episode? It's returning guests.
Both of them are returning guests.
David Gresham Port and Derek Gove.
Yeah.
Two very good friends,
yep,
who very much love both of these movies.
Yep. We talk
both the Spider and both the Spider-Verse movies.
We work with both of them. We've talked extensively with them at work, mm-hmm, and we're like, this would be fun episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Or these would be fun episodes.
So we will see. We'll see what works for them, and we'll see if we even do it.
Hopefully.
I hope so. I
at
would like
some to... point, we will do it, even if it's not August.
Yes, but...
because we have to.
Yeah. But for right now, we're rounding out Sly July. And before we start talking about Tango and Cash, why don't you let everyone know where they can always find us?
Yes. In terms of social media, you can find us on Instagram. We are at The Radcast. Cast is spelled with a K. The Radcast is all one word. And then you can find us on all major podcast apps, Spotify, Apple Podcast, until August 29th, Stitcher, mm-hmm, because Stitcher is going away. And then on some of those apps, you can rate and review. So if you could please do that, if you are so inclined, it helps us out.
Yep. And without further ado, let's talk a little Tango. Let's talk a little Raymond Tango and Gabriel Cash. Two opposite cops from two ends of California who have to band together because they've been framed for a murder.
Yes.
And here's some of the nitty-gritty.
Let's get down to the nitty-gritty.
So Tango and Cash was released December 22nd, 1989, the last action movie released in the 1980s,
yep,
which was, I want to say arguably, but I don't even know if it's arguable that mm-hmm, that was the height of the action movie.
Oh, the
80s? The 1980s.
Oh, yeah, especially the whole buddy cop
mm-hmm
formula.
Yeah.
And this, at times, kind of felt like a spoof of that. It was kind of just winding everything, mm-hmm, and basically taking all the tropes and mm-hmm just amplifying everything.
Exactly. Not parody while taking the piss out of it.
Not
like leaning so into it. Like a Last Action Hero.
Yeah, kind of like winking at the camera. Not mm-hmm like a Zucker Brothers or Mel Brooks or anything like that.
Whether Tango and Cash was... I mean, the production on this was a mess. So whether it was meant to be like that or just ended up like that, Last Action Hero meant to be like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. It very much takes the... critics would say the cookie cutter buddy cop formula, and some critics had the gall to say but boring and more mindless.
Boring.
And when I read that, I was like, this movie's anything but boring.
Bored. The performance, the chemistry alone between Sylvester mm-hmm Stallone and Kurt Russell
exactly
is anything but boring.
If something is not, if there's no heightened violence, if there's no intense moments, if there's no explosions, the movie is carried by the chemistry and quips of Sylvester Stallone and Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
So this movie has constant movement, whether it's the physical movement with all the action, or it's just the verbal movement with the one-liners.
Yeah.
It's excellent.
It's so good.
I
love this movie.
I can't rave enough about it. Maybe it's recency bias. I don't know.
It definitely... I would like to think that if I watch this months from now, I'll still love it.
It's
not without its flaws, obviously.
Oh, I was going to say, it has its issues. It has things that, you know, after the fact, hours removed from watching it, I'm like, I have some questions about this. However, there's no action movie, even the almost perfect ones like Die Hard, Predator, and Lethal Weapon, that aren't without their questions or plot holes.
This is considered a Lethal Weapon kind of knockoff.
I can see that.
But it's one, but they'd be like, it is, but it's one of the better ones.
Oh, yeah. It's the same that we talked about Sudden Death.
Yeah.
When we did Sucktastic
Cinema.
It's like
a Die Hard knockoff, but it's one of the better ones.
Yeah. And if you can do one of the better ones, it's much more forgivable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you try to take those tropes and you shit the bed, then you're going to get panned for it.
Yeah. But I might still love it.
Yeah, exactly. I might still
just for different reasons.
I love your effort.
Yeah.
And I love how badly you bungled it.
Yeah.
But let's continue on with this here. So Tango and Cash was the last action movie to be released in theaters mm-hmm during the 1980s.
Yeah.
Which is, it's real. That's just huge to think about it. And I think they sent the 80s out with a bang.
I do too.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah. Directed by Andre Konchalovsky. And also by Albert Magnoli,
mm-hmm,
which he picked it. Again, it was a whole mess. We won't get into the behind the scenes. John Peters, the producer, is an asshole.
Yeah.
He's notoriously an asshole.
Yeah.
And he mistreats people, even though he helped produce some of the biggest movies of the 80s and the 90s.
Especially in 89.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
him and like Warner Brothers.
He's one of the more famous movies he produced was 89, was the first Tim Burton Batman.
And then Sylvester Stallone used his stroke for a lot of stuff as well.
As much as I still just I love Sylvester Stallone, he has a huge ego.
Yeah.
And every production after Rocky, but mainly after Rambo 2, he's had to put in his two cents. He's ghost directed so many of the movies.
Ghost written.
But credited as Andrzej Konchalovsky and Albert Magnoli. Albert Magnoli, who directed Purple Rain.
Yeah.
And also the Party Man music video.
Yes, which his influence you can tell in some of the more stylistic. Terry Hatcher has a dance sequence that is very much like looks like kind of like a Prince.
Yeah.
Has like a Prince influence.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm for.
Totally.
The Party Man music video is amazing.
It is.
Starring Sylvester Stallone as Ray Tango. Kurt Russell is Gabriel Cash.
Kurt Russell in his full Kurt Russell-iest.
This is full Kurt Russell.
The most, he's a charming, smart ass.
He's a scruffy scoundrel.
He's just rugged. He's Kurt Russell,
he's
man.
Kurt freaking Russell.
Like, you watch it, and like so many moments, you're like, God, Kurt Russell.
Only
so
Kurt Russell.
So good.
Yeah. Patrick Swayze originally was supposed to be the Cash role, but he opted out in order to do Roadhouse.
Which, love Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
Our first episode was Roadhouse.
Love Roadhouse.
Yeah.
We'll always love Roadhouse, unless bad stuff comes out about Patrick Swayze or Sam Elliott.
But I don't think it will,
I haven't.
Honestly.
Nothing's come up yet.
Yeah.
But love Roadhouse, so I think that's a fine decision. But Kurt Russell's Gabriel Cash.
Come on.
It wouldn't have been the same with Patrick Swayze.
No.
Terry Hatcher, you mentioned earlier, as Catherine, or Kiki, as she's known as her dance persona.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Palance as Yves Perret. Brian James as Raquin.
Mm-hmm.
James Hong as Quan. And Mark Alimo as Lopez. Featuring, there is a slew
this
of character actors.
This is the equivalent of like when like a Tarantino movie has a star-studded cast.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Murderer's Row, a star-studded cast of character actors.
Oh, yeah. Each time one would come up, I'm like, geez.
Yeah.
Hey, like, there's Michael Jeter, Clint Howard.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Lewis as Captain Schroeder.
Yeah.
Who he's not credited, although
he's got a little bit of screen time.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of screen time.
Yeah.
But Jeffrey Lewis, who's clearly wearing a hairpiece, and slurs his words through a lot of the movie.
Yeah.
Michael Pollard.
Yeah.
Who plays like the same character and everything. He's
Sleepaway Camp 3.
Sleepaway Camp 3. He's one of the homeless people in Scrooge.
Yeah, he was in Roxanne.
Yeah. But Michael Pollard is Owen. Clint Howard is Slinky. Michael Jeter, one of the Mr. Noodles.
Yeah.
He's also in Green Mile.
Yeah, and Air Bud.
Patch Adams.
Yeah.
A number of things.
A bazooka.
Yeah, Michael Jeter, Skinner. Louis Arquette.
Yeah.
As Wyler. And Robert Zadar.
Ooh,
as Face.
Baby. Robert, if you know anything about B-movies, you would know Robert Zadar if you saw
him.
He is
a
famous B-movie actor.
He is one of the most unique-looking individuals. The most prominent chin I've ever seen on anybody ever.
He did a movie called Soul Taker that is one of my favorite Mystery Science Theater 3000 episodes. And one of the riffs is, God, his face looks like a catcher's mitt.
It's so good.
Yeah.
But
he's very good in this movie.
He is, which made me happy to see because he's samurai cop.
Yeah.
Like his
pocket ninjas.
Pocket ninjas. He's one of the more notable B movie actors.
Yeah.
And I was glad to see him do really good in this.
Yeah.
Really well in this.
Yeah.
Box office $63.4 million on a $55 million budget. I've also seen them say $100 million.
Yeah.
I don't know. It made money.
Yeah.
Like so. Like even though it was panned by critics, people wanted to see what a team up of Sylvester Stallone and Kurt Russell would look like.
Well, in the theaters that summer with Batman, Lethal Weapon 2, Driving Miss Daisy, like at least for Warner Brothers, that's mm-hmm. That's what was in theaters. And all things considered, it still did pretty well.
Yeah, it still did pretty well. And like with a lot of things, it on the VHS market
mm-hmm.
and then on the DVD market, on home video release, yeah. it gained more popularity, yeah. more appreciation.
Yeah.
Which also, this surprised me. And to maybe it's because I've been so familiar with Kurt Russell ever since I was a kid. And just have loved his roles and yeah. his movies and stuff like that. So many things I've watched about people doing commentaries
yeah.
On Tango and Cash. They're like, Kurt Russell wasn't like, he wasn't the hot movie star that he mm-hmm. came to be known as or what everybody might think, at least not at that point.
Yeah.
And one of the commentators even said he, if anything, was more known as Goldie Hawn's partner
yeah.
Above anything else, to which I was flabbergasted.
Because yeah, it's like, what about The Thing? It's like The Thing didn't do well, though. Yeah. It developed a cult following.
We grew
following,
up with
yeah.
Big Trouble in Little China.
Which also didn't
do
well.
No, it was like, Big Trouble in Little China. It's like, yeah, well, home video market helped The Thing and Big Trouble in yeah. Little China.
Overboard,
which hilarious.
But it's great, but still, mm-hmm. Goldie Hawn was
yeah.
the marquee person in yeah. that movie.
So it just was funny to think that he really, Kurt Russell wasn't the big action star, mm-hmm. not box office anyway, because yeah. 80s home video market, you know, is when The Thing, Escape from New York.
Yeah. That's big, right, Escape from New York.
Big Trouble in Little China yeah. made him the everyman action
yeah.
hero.
Yeah, he, up until that point, these movies, especially the John Carpenter ones, like we said, wouldn't be popular until later.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're talking just purely in terms of, yeah, superstardom, mm-hmm. again, oh, it's just Goldie Hawn's boyfriend, you know, yeah. Goldie Hawn's partner, you yeah. know.
What was on the VHS? Now on video, Roger and Me, that Michael Moore, I think it's the first Michael Moore yeah. documentary. Lethal Weapon 2 on video cassette on price that hits the bullseye, $24.98.
Jeez. I say geez, mm-hmm. like new DVDs don't cost $25.
Yeah.
Or Blu-rays. Yeah. Or, yeah.
And then an advertisement for the Bill Murray, Gina Davis, Randy Quaid movie, Quick Change.
Ah, okay.
So, with all that out of the way,
yeah.
you had, we don't usually go off of, like, last week, Matt read off the Wikipedia yeah. plot to Stop Where My Mom mm-hmm. Will Shoot. This week, you have your DVD with you, and
yeah.
we usually don't read off pre-written
yeah.
things from other people.
I found that it would probably benefit us mm-hmm. just because we try and do synopsis.
Right.
But both of us have a little bit of an issue trying to be concise because
yeah.
we get started
oh, yeah.
and then mm-hmm. one of us or the other right. one, we kind of dovetail,
yeah.
you know, down into like a rabbit hole
yeah.
and then basically we have to, okay, now back to the plot
yeah.
kind of thing. So
if yeah, and the reason for that, if this is your first time listening, hello, thank you.
Yes.
We've mentioned it multiple times on the podcast and it's not an excuse. I know there's a lot of things that people may say, oh, it's my OCD and blah, blah, blah.
It's my ADHD.
No, we really do have it's unmedicated, which is on us.
Yeah.
But we have ADHD, so that's why that happens.
Yes, yeah, it's every detail is important and one thing reminds us of another thing.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, we haven't come back around to the point.
Right.
And I'll listen to episodes back and I'm like, ah, that's got to be so annoying, you know.
It's
so
annoying for me.
So I figured these people get paid
yeah.
to write a concise synopsis on
exactly.
the back.
Exactly.
And so I'm like, why don't we just do that? So I brought my DVD copy and I'm going to give everyone, the listener, the synopsis of the movie, and then we can go
yeah.
off in different
mm-hmm.
directions. So, Ray Tango and Gabe Cash are rival LA policemen with one thing in common. Each thinks he is the best. Team them, and they're like oil and water. But frame them for a crime, and they're like a match in kerosene.
Baby.
That's really the juicy titles. You know, these gushy titles.
That's what it is. That's from a documentary.
Yeah. Stallone and Russell deliver sweaty excitement.
That's true.
Yeah. Sex
true.
Appeal. Can't argue.
Yep.
And outrageous laughs in this action comedy from the director of Runaway Train. The two stage a prison breakout that's a breathless rush of weapons and wisecracks.
Oh.
I don't dispute any of this.
No, this is all a perfect,
yeah.
you know, concise synopsis
yeah.
of the movie.
Yeah. Then roar after the shadowy crime lord, Jack Palance, who set them up. Tango and Cash are out to clear their names. Join them and feel the rush.
That was great. Yeah. That was awesome. I completely agree. I would add the movie with all of that. I think, like with that synopsis, how that's framed really well. The movie's paced really well.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's ample amount of time given to that setup. Mm-hmm. So we are familiarized with how these two are opposites.
Yeah.
And we'll talk a little bit about how they're opposites, how Sly kind of plays against type in a way. But it sets up how these two are opposites. It makes sure to show Eves Racin, or I said Racin.
Yeah.
The Eves Racin is the name of a hockey player.
Yeah.
Eves Parrott, Jack Palance.
Yeah.
It shows kind of his issues with them through newspaper headlines and exposition. Yeah. You see that they're these two hero cops, well-decorated cops, even if they do things differently.
Yeah. And we get to see scenes of them apprehending criminals and how they handle that differently. Yeah.
We see some things that are set up that come up again later in the movie.
Yeah.
It hits you right out of the gate with action. Like the first 5 minutes, it's like heart pounding stuff.
Yeah.
But there's ample amount of time given to building who these two are.
Mm-hmm.
You have one scene where they meet up with one another, and through dialogue they, you know, recognize who one another is. They acknowledge one another.
Second best cop in LA.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say the same about you.
Yeah, exactly. You get their chemistry right out of the gate.
Yeah.
And you see how they're going to play off of one another. There's ample amount of setup, or ample amount of time to the setup.
Mm-hmm.
The jail experience, which is intense.
Yeah.
The escape, which is... That's a good way to say that.
Because it's done in the rain.
And with that, it's shot really well.
Yes.
Which is props to the original director, who was very, like, had
he
a
knew
very
how to shot, yeah, shoot action.
It's a very artsy, stylistic eye, so it's shot really well.
Yeah.
And it is a tense that showdown between Face, Robert Zadar's character, who was put in prison by
at the beginning of
Tango.
The movie.
And we see when they're in the prison, there's even a line, you know, we put 90% of these guys behind bars, so they all want to kill them.
And they're still quipping to each other.
Like Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly. Like, as they're what, because continue what you're going to say. I don't want to, like, go.
Well, there's ample amount of time spent. There's a satisfactory amount of time spent with the jail situation to show these comedic elements with an intense backdrop, interactions with people. We kind of get an idea of how hated the two of them are by the prison population. The escape is pulse pounding.
Yeah.
When they escape, it's about 45, 50 minutes into the movie. Then we have another 50 minutes for them to go out and clear their name, which them separately, that's fun to watch to see what they do. When they get together to clear their name in the third act, that's just that also is a blast to watch, because this whole time you've only seen clever interactions between the two of them.
Yeah.
So them actually teaming up on the, because it's, they team up for survival on the inside, but on the outside to team up to clear their name.
Yeah.
Like,
they're going to different people who played a part in the framing of them.
Yeah. Like I said earlier, whenever there is an action, the back and forth between the two or the dialogue they have separately helps move the movie along and keep the viewer engaged.
Yeah.
So not boring at all.
No, I was going to say, it doesn't drag in the slightest. Mm-mm. And when I said when they're in the jail, and first off, in the courtroom, part of their, like, plea deal is, like, you'll get sent to this minimum security prison. Mm-hmm. That's what they do, you know, that's what they do with cops and stuff like that. And right away, they pull up to a maximum security prison. Like, okay, well, we've gotten screwed over already.
Yeah.
And then there's a scene with Tango and Cash kind of talking in the shower. And they're like, they don't put cops in general population. And they're like, well, they screwed us over with bringing us here.
Mm-hmm.
And they cut right to them walking into general population.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, debris, like, prisoners are throwing debris on them. There's, like, fires kind of all over the place. And the whole time they're walking, and they're just, they don't look scared. They're just quipping to one another. And usually wall-to-wall one-liners and quips, kind of like I mentioned in Demolition Man, kind of feels forced.
Yeah.
And there were a few moments where I'm like, okay, maybe we can pull back a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, because it's kind of getting in the way of the story. Yeah. But their chemistry is so off the charts
mm-hmm.
that I was like, I'm in this. Mm-hmm. You're not going to lose me. I'm in this yeah. for the long haul.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is just what's happening. But the majority of this dialogue, I love.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, it's so sharp and well delivered.
Yeah.
That after their first, after their first interaction, had the same, had kind of the same things to say. I texted you and I was like, the writing in this movie is so good.
Yeah.
At least with Sly and Kurt Russell. And I was afraid it wouldn't start that way.
Right.
Because the first scene is Sly is Ray Tango chasing down an oil truck.
His acting's not that great.
Exactly. Yeah. Like at the very beginning when he's on his radio with his backup, I was like, oh man, is this going to be carried by Kurt Russell in the
yeah.
action? But as soon as he stops the truck and then he pulls a hole, he's like, he cuts them off and then he starts shooting at the window until finally they have to pump the brakes, which mm-hmm. a big truck like that isn't, you got to give it like a mile's breadth to stop. It's not going to stop right away like that.
That's why people are stupid when they try to brake check semi trucks.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, you're that, you have a death wish then.
Yeah. And then the driver and the passenger fly out the window. One of them's Robert Zadar. And this line is, nice of you to drop in.
Yeah.
You like jewelry? And it's the handcuffs. I'm like, okay.
I think it's going to be all right. Yeah.
Especially since Sly's attempts at comedy after this fell way flat.
Yeah. But when he's bouncing off of Kurt Russell, mm-hmm. it's like, this is great.
Yeah. And then, you know, his backup shows up. And they're like, all we see is oil and, you know, and you city cop and blah, blah, blah. And we want to take you in. And,
mm-hmm.
and then he pulls out a gun. And then one of the more famous lines from this is like, whoa, 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 Rambo. And he's like, Rambo is a pussy.
Yeah.
And then he shoots
it. It's fine because he's Rambo.
Yeah, he shoots at the section of the big oil tanker that hadn't been checked and it's cocaine.
Yeah.
And then we see Yves Parrott drive by. It's Jack Palance.
Yeah.
And he's talking about how Tango and Cash are thorns in his side, and
that's the
prevailing thing that he keeps talking about until he talks to his two associates,
mm-hmm.
James Hong and Quan and Lopez,
who also
individually have Tango and Cash to deal with, because Hong deals with Cash and Lopez deals with Tango.
And Jack Palance is great.
Oh,
he's very eccentric mm-hmm. in this movie. He's got like pet mice. His office is like a control room.
Yeah.
So he's constantly has like video surveillance, especially the beginning, like talking about how Tango and Cash are thorn in his side. He's got two separate videos of them taking like down a lot of drug busts,
mm-hmm.
and he's just like kind of devising the plan of we need to frame them, get them arrested,
mm-hmm.
and they'll be, you know, they can't take down any of our operations if they're in jail.
Yeah, and we can't kill them either, because two hero cops, we don't want to make them martyrs.
Yeah,
because then the whole police force, both police forces that Tango and Cash work for, are going to come down on us hard.
Yeah.
So we don't want to make martyrs out of hero cops. We want to frame them and turn people against them.
Yeah.
We want to tarnish their reputation.
Yeah.
And then when they're in prison, we will kill them.
Yeah. So they both separately get the same drop on a drug deal happening mm-hmm. in a warehouse, which is where we get introduced to Rakeen,
uh-huh.
Who is Brian James, who that character initially only had a few lines,
mm-hmm.
but Brian James added like this ridiculous Cockney accent that Sylvester Stallone really liked,
mm-hmm.
and so he wrote more of a part for him. Mm-hmm. And he's a scene chewing.
Oh yeah, he's
villain
he's
as
a
well.
Fine. He doesn't.
He adds some menace to the movie.
He doesn't look like he would be.
Yeah,
you know, you see those big muscled up heavies that play.
Yeah.
You know, the right hand man of the big baddie.
Yeah, like Bennett in Commando.
Yeah, like Bennett. Yeah, exactly. Let off some steam, Bennett. His ill fitting mesh top.
Yeah.
But it wasn't originally supposed to be a fat and flabby mustache man. Not Bennett, but it's these people that you can tell are 80 yard over, who probably didn't speak a lick of English, but they were just cast for their size. Brian James was fine.
Yeah.
Like he did a fine job.
Yeah. And so that warehouse is where they both meet up, and that's where we see them for the first time. And basically they walk into a room with a tape recorder, and there's a dead police officer in there. And mm-hmm. basically it was a whole scene set up to make it look like, especially like the recorded conversation was doctored in such a way to make it sound like Tango and Cash were part of a drug deal and mm-hmm. they shot the cop and stuff like that.
Yeah. And earlier when I was talking about right out of the gate, we're hit with a big action scene. It's because Kurt Russell, Gabe Cash, he drives in with his car. He's beloved by all like the neighborhood children.
Kids are like, Cash, yeah. Hey.
And he lives in kind of a rundown, grimy section of the city. Yeah. But you know, it's relatively harmless. But he lives in this rundown apartment, and he's like looking at himself in the mirror, and then all of a sudden somebody on the other side breaks through the mirror and like shoots him twice.
Yeah.
And we're like, whoa, like, is this a dream? What is it?
Yeah.
But then
he shoots him in the chest.
Yeah. And then he like no sells it. And then
it's like, he's probably wearing a bulletproof vest.
Yeah. And he gets in a tussle with this, you know, assassin who's been sent, and he lifts up his foot and shoots a gun. He has a gun boot.
A fucking
like shoots at
Jack
him.
Burton move.
Exactly. Oh, it shows up at the end, which is really cool. But he has a gun boot who we later see was, you know, was built for him by Owen, Michael Pollard's character, who has a few appearances, but he's like their, it was put as he's like their M in James Bond.
He works for the police, it's like research and diagnostics team, and he acts as sort of a hideout for Kurt Russell when they escape prison. That's where he goes and gets weapons, and that's where they get their bulletproof car that they use at the end of the movie.
Like an RV on steroids, I think is what Kurt Russell said. Yeah. It has this huge Gatling gun on the side.
And it's just the whole end sequence is just so bombastic.
Yeah.
And it's a testament to how eccentric the Jack Palance character is, because they're in a ravine, and he's got like these monster trucks and steamrollers. Yeah. And it's just, they're just shooting at each other.
And it's one of those things to where like,
it's insane.
It's out of place, but it isn't out of place because nothing, you perfectly use the term bombastic.
Yeah.
Nothing up to that point, and like nothing had been so over the top to where you're like, come on. But this was like, this was almost like, just throw everything.
Yeah.
Throw every trope.
That's
plus
what
the kitchen,
you want, though.
Plus the kitchen sink
in
there.
It's a popcorn movie. Yeah. You want to see that.
Jack Palance has been almost a subdued, bad scene-stealing, scene-chewing bad guy with this, you know, the epitome of gravitas, Jack Palance. But then the end, it shows, oh, I guess he is this diabolical, over-the-top. The movie was... is described as a comic book type movie
because
it's so over the top, especially at the end. All of a sudden, okay, why not just turn Jack Palance into the, like I said, diabolical, over the top, you know, I have a self-destructing mechanism in my building, and I have a needless secret room full of mirrors because it's convenient to the end, you know, the end part of the movie.
Yeah.
And the end part to build tension.
Yep.
But I just wanted to make sure I put in the gun boot that Kurt Russell has.
So good. And then when they're, you mentioned in prison, and I'm glad they didn't spend, not like it, like do the whole King Kong thing. It was Peter Jackson's King Kong, where they spend an hour and a half on the island. Mm-hmm. They spend... Like, that's what I was worried, too, is, like, how much conflict are we going to have in prison? Like, how much are their lives going to... Because you know their lives are going to be in danger.
Right.
And you're, like... I was almost kind of worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
I was, like, how much is this going to be, like, just a prison movie and, like, all that stuff? They spend the perfect amount of time in prison. Here's some conflicts. You need to escape. Let's focus on the escape. And they didn't rush. They didn't rush to the finish line kind of thing. And when they're in prison, like... when they're abducted from their cells and brought to the laundry room, to where clearly everyone's been, all the guards have been paid off
of course
and stuff, and they will have no protection mm-hmm. while they're there. And the laundry room scene.
Oh, that's...
Where they're in the laundry room.
They're still quipping.
And that's the thing, is they're still quipping. What do they say to each other? Like, don't worry or something.
Don't worry. And each time...
Don't panic.
Don't panic. They're like, don't panic. And then each time as Perrette keeps talking and the prisoner, there's just mob of prisoners every side of them. And
so
each
you're
time...
Like, how the hell are they going to get out of
each this? Each time they progressively get more and more panicked, but they're like, don't panic.
Yeah.
And then like... Gabe Cash is always putting them in a bad spot because he is the more...
He's a smart ass.
He's the snarky... So they're both snarky, but he's the more smart ass.
Yeah.
He's the more cavalier of the two.
Yeah.
To where he will just start shooting off at the mouth of somebody.
Tango is... I don't know if we touched on it, but I would just touch on it because...
I mentioned Sly kind of plays against type.
Yeah, he's very like... You know, he likes the action of being on the police force, but he's very much like Gucci suit.
He's a self-made
like
man.
Self-made
slick.
Man.
Slick.
Yeah.
He's a stockbroker type.
Yeah. Which plays against the whole grimy kind
of... Wears glasses! Then he wears glasses!
Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's, you know, he has an exchange with Jeffrey Lewis at the beginning, who is his captain.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, you don't even... Jeffrey Lewis is essentially like, you don't even need this job. Why are you a police officer? And he's like, for the action.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we meet his sister, Catherine, played by Terry Hatcher.
We get the idea that she's like a love interest of his of some sort. At least I did.
Right.
But yeah, in the prison, they're in the laundry room and they're quipping and stuff like that. Perrette shows up. He's basically explaining his plan and all that stuff. And they hold off prisoners for a while. They're like mm-hmm. kicking ass. And then eventually... they get mobbed, and essentially they're like, they set up these dunk tanks, and Rakeen has like this electrical pipe or whatever, and he's basically gonna electrocute them, mm-hmm. and they're getting lowered in there. And I was tense.
Yeah.
I was tense that whole scene because I was like, I know the movie isn't over.
Yeah.
And they'll be it, but I was like, how are they gonna get out of this?
Yeah. And you think that. Because, okay, they're all beaten and bloodied because they're mobbed by prisoners, and they're strung up not by their necks, but, like, their hands are tied behind their back, and they're strung up kind of by the shoulder, like, under their arms and over their shoulders.
Yeah.
They can't move. They can't get out of it, just them being savvy.
Yeah.
And it's not like in some movies where you kind of see that. You see they're only beaten up, and they're being lowered and lowered and lowered, and then help comes. No, they get lowered, and they each get... like, electrocuted. Yves Jack Palance is like, you know, we'll place bets on which one of them dies first.
Yeah.
So it's not enough electricity to, like, I guess it gives off the impression it's not enough electricity to kill them right off.
Yeah.
But it's torturing them
torture
slowly.
Them. Yeah.
But then we see there's this mob of guards coming in, and the assistant warden actually we see ends up being used to be Gabe Cash's commanding officer.
Yeah, Kurt Russell.
And he essentially and he breaks it up, like Jack Palance gets away, the prisoners are sent back to their cells.
Back to your bunks.
All right, enough fun, back to your bunks.
Yeah.
And he takes Tango and Cash aside, and he's like, you guys got to get out of here. He's like, you know, I don't believe you guys did what you said I don't believe what's said about you. You guys did.
Yeah.
And you guys got to get out of here, which one of the ways that they were framed is they brought in this audio expert.
Yeah.
Who played by Michael Jeter, who had, the dead body they found was wired.
Yeah.
And
we're like, why is he wired?
It recorded their actual conversation. One of the things that kind of bugged me is Kurt Russell, Cash, one of his guns is at the scene. He's like, what is this doing here?
Yeah.
And he has a line earlier where he's like, who's been messing with my gun?
It's like, the sight's all off.
Which I thought that would play into, like, they're being framed. It plays into it, but in a clever way. But
yeah.
Not really into them being framed, but I don't know if it was ever addressed as to why one of his guns was there used to frame them.
I'm sure upon second viewing,
it would
make more sense, or a few viewings.
Yeah. But the tape that was used to record what they actually said, Brian James's character comes out and he hands it to the person who was recording. He hands a doctored tape that Michael Jeter's character had was paid to make to help frame them. And there's all these different ways it shows that they're framed, and they're quipping one another, you know, when we get out of here, I'm going to rip his tongue out.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to we're going to rip his tongue out. And Kurt Russell's like, I'll provide the tow truck or something like, or maybe it's Sylvester Stallone said, but that's set up because when they do escape, there are these scenes where Sylvester Stallone is, he breaks into Louis Arquette's care, Wyler, who's the FBI agent who is the one leading the leading the bust into when Tango and Cash are thought to have murdered the police officer. But he's interrogating Louis Arquette. Louis Arquette gives him information, but he's like, they're on my ass now too, and you know, all that stuff. And then Kurt Russell is at Michael Jeter's place.
Yeah, but that's after they escape. That the assistant warden you brought up, they had that relationship, but Sylvester Stallone doesn't trust him.
Right.
Because he's like, we've been screwed over since the second our trial was over.
Yeah.
I'm not going to trust that guy. And he basically set it up, like the assistant warden set it up. He's like, you know, I'll get you on a certain prison detail. I'll have it all set up. You can get out this way. Mm-hmm. One of the, you know, in the ventilation, I'll stop one of the fans so you can get out.
Yeah.
And basically Kurt Russell's like, come on, like he got us on trash detail. He's like, you go. I don't trust that guy. I'll figure out. And he's like, fine. And Kurt Russell starts to escape, and they killed that Matthew guy, the assistant
Robert
warden.
Starr and other rogue security guards killed him. So he was to be trusted, but also he walked right into a setup.
Yeah, and so basically that starts the whole pursuit, because Kurt Russell gets to the fan starts worrying again that he got through into the shaft, and then Sly shows up and stops it, and he's like, oh, thanks for showing up kind of thing, and he's like, I don't remember what he said, but he's like, you know, I figured I'd join you or whatever.
Yeah.
And basically the whole pursuit in the rain, like they're quipping to one another, but they're like jumping on rooftops. Mm-hmm. It's like, Cash, are you sure this is the way? He's like, this is the way. He's like, are you sure? He's like, yeah, I know this is the way and stuff. And basically they get to a point to where there's electrical wires.
Yeah.
And he's like, so we'll jump and with a belt, like we'll rappel along the wires and we'll be home free.
Yeah.
And that's where the whole, like, it's just over the top and just complete macho action movie, like totally ridiculous. And Kurt Russell gets over the wall, but Sylvester Stallone is stopped initially because Robert Zadar's character cuts him off. And basically you're like, because Kurt Russell's like, come on, Tango, where are you, Tango?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. And we see Robert Zadar is about to pull him, about to pull Sly into, like, the electrical part of the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that controls all the electricity. He's basically going to kill him and stuff. And then he gets unhooked and kills Robert Zadar.
Yeah.
But that's a little bit of tension that added to an already tense scene. And the fact, again, that it was done in the rain was so great.
Yeah.
And then that's when, okay, they're home free, and now let's go confront all the people that
and
did
that,
this
that's
to
where
us.
They kind of tie up those loose ends and figure things out.
Yeah.
And then it kind of, the third act starts when, like, right before they went their separate ways.
Yeah.
Cash is like, Ray, I owe you one. Mm-hmm. And Ray's like, go to this club and ask for Catherine.
Yeah.
Because
Kiki.
Yeah, Ray's the only one who calls his sister Catherine. Everyone else knows Kiki.
And again, at this point, we don't know that they're brother and sister. We think that they're an item.
Right. So they do their confronting the last person that Cash goes to get safe passage with is Catherine, but he's at the club and he keeps asking for Catherine, and they're like, no Catherine, like there's a ton of Catherines here, or like no Catherine. And then you hear, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, Kiki. And we see it's Terry Hatcher, and she overhears,
getting her groove on.
Oh yeah. She overhears Gabe talking to the bartender asking for Catherine.
Yeah.
And after her, like at this time also there are police officers coming in because both guys are on
their
fugitives.
Land.
They're fugitives. So police officers come in, and Terry Hatcher takes notice, and she tries to seduce one of them to distract him.
Yeah.
And then right before Ray can be compromised, she's like, I'm Kiki, and like, follow me.
Yeah.
And she gets him out of there. There's a funny little scene of Kurt Russell and drag.
Yeah.
And then it's this like there's this moment because we find out that she's Ray's sister.
Yeah.
We also find out she lives with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this
or
part
at the very least, he owns the house that she lives in and pays him rent. Cause he's like, but you got back due on rent and stuff like that.
And like she's massaging like a slip disc that, Cash has.
Yeah.
But from Ray's perspective, when he walks in, it looks and sounds like they're having sex. So it's one of those like misunderstanding situations.
Yeah.
Which he's not like having a conniption fit. He's like, did you sleep with my sister? Like something like that.
And when he finds out it's his sister, he's like, it's my sister. He's like, that's great.
You know, yeah.
And basically that's like kind of a running thing threaded throughout the movie is like, listen, I'm gonna date your sister
throughout the rest of the third act.
Yeah.
And then Jeffrey Lewis shows up at the back door and lets them know that, you know, they're like, you know, we have the thing, we have this tape that I got from Michael Jeter's character.
Yeah.
And they say that exactly.
Yeah.
Again,
Jeffrey Lewis kind of phoning it in.
Yeah, this tape is gonna like get us off and we're gonna clear our names with this tape. Cause I got this actual tape saying that we're innocent and blah, blah, blah. Like the actual tape that was recorded then.
Yeah. And I also, it's occurring to me now, we built it up and made it hopefully. And once you made you want to watch it, but we're dropping some spoilers in
here.
So apologies
to
people who want to go, you can still go watch
really
it.
It really is a fun movie.
Yeah.
I admittingly, I had some stuff spoiled for me.
Yeah.
A couple years ago when I watched. That doesn't make it okay.
No.
There are some spoiler things here. Again,
hopefully you still want to go watch it.
Yeah. The attitude we have again with this is we feel like anybody who's listening some of you listen just for us, some of you listen because you want to hear what two people have to say about a movie you've already seen.
Yeah.
I don't want to assume, but sorry for the spoilerific things. The movie's almost 35 years old. So that's not an excuse. Anyway.
But sometimes you draw a line and kind of say, like, you can't really be angry anymore.
Yeah. I'm sure some people have so much of, like, Predator or something spoiled for them, but they still watch it and like it.
Yeah, of course.
If anything, it's to take the tension out of things.
Yeah, exactly. That way you can enjoy and know how things go.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, Jeffrey Lewis shows up. He tells them they have 24 hours to clear their name. Mm-hmm. And then that's when he tells them the address of Brian James's Raquin, of his apartment.
Is it Raquin or Raquin?
Raquin. I think it's Raquin.
Yeah.
There's a great scene of good cop, worse cop, or bad cop, worse cop.
Yeah.
That's really great.
That's really great.
And then they find out where Jack Palance's stuff is, and it all comes back to when we're talking about the whole bombastic.
That's when it
blowing up. Yeah.
It's like here's the exclamation point on the movie.
Yeah, like they stop at Owens, Michael Pollard's character, and he shows them this tank. Essentially, this tank that they're going to drive into that's equipped with all this weaponry, and it's like this bulletproof RV. And they charge right into Perrette's
compound,
and it's a huge, bombastic is a great word for it.
Yeah.
It's this huge scene, and eventually they end up Kiki's taken hostage. They end up in Perrette's lair or whatever, and they each have their own guy they're fighting.
Kurt Russell fights Raquin.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a random henchman introduced just for this scene.
Yeah.
And then we see the hidden room that opens up too. It's just this wall of mirrors that it's supposed to throw them off
because
they don't know which the original Perrette to shoot. But they're saying Cash is like, "What are we gonna do?" And Tango's like, "I know which one. Like, I know which one's the original.
We gotta take them alive.
For the knees." And then they're like, "One." It's this count of three, which was done earlier, but instead of at the time when it was done earlier, they're like, "All right, we'll go on three. One, two," and then Cash runs off and Tango kind of rolls his eyes. But on this, it's like Tango's like, "One, two," and they both shoot on three. Tango with a gun he had hidden in his...
They both shoot on two. It's like one, two, boom.
Oh, that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
One, two, and then what I was going to say
Tango
has a gun he had in his sock and Cash has his
gun
boot.
So do I.
And they both shoot him in the head and they take him out. And, see, they're going to take him alive. I'll cut all that. And they shoot him in the head, and they said they'd go for the kneecaps, but they'll shoot him in the head. And they're like, my sights are off. And the other one's like, yeah, me too. Yeah. Just to kind of make up for it.
Yeah.
And Cash asks Tango how he knew to shoot the right Perret. He says his ring was on the opposite hand. Cash says the monogram on his suit was switched. And Cash quips, man, are we clever or
I
what?
I loved that. Yeah. Man, are we clever or what?
And then they get out of there.
In the way Kurt Russell can only deliver that
line. The compound blows up. And the two of them and Catherine, they're safe.
Yeah.
And also this whole time as they go to high five one another,
they refuse.
And they just
like,
refuse
let's
to
just go. Yeah.
It's this funny back and forth, and Cash just keeps saying, you know, now I'm gonna date your sister.
Yeah.
And Catherine's like, can't you two just admit that you're a great team and stuff like that? And then after the sister line, like just Ray Tango laughs. And we see Cash wind up for a high five. Tango winds up for a high five,
and they do it.
They high five. Yeah. It's a tight shot on them actually high fiving, and it fades into a cover of a newspaper saying like heroes again, heroes return,
yeah.
And like talking about how the two of them have been have been acquitted of all charges.
Yeah.
They cleared their name, and the song "Best of What I Got" by Bad English plays as soon as they high five. And let me tell you, with the ride this movie put me on and how it ends in such an 80s way.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck yes!
Yeah.
It was pumping my arms up and down.
Yeah.
And that's when I sent you, you know, and again, we try not to use that for too much on here, even though we're not great at it. I texted you, this movie fucking rules.
Yeah. And that was like I was 5 minutes into the movie at that point. And I was like, I already like it. And at the end, I was like, this is incredible.
I was like, this movie's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is.
It is.
Easily, Tango and Cash is incredible.
Immediately in my top five favorite action movies ever.
And I couldn't have asked for a better movie to A, rebound from last week and to round out Sly July.
Yep.
Because we talked about some of his 90s flicks, which were hit and miss, but it seemed like he was boffo at the box office during the 80s. So we ended it with the last 80s box office action movie blockbuster.
Yeah.
Sylvester Stallone, and a decade he ruled. Kurt Russell, a decade he would become famous for his everyman, gruff action hero.
Yeah.
They come together and made something beautiful.
Yep. Agreed. I have nothing. I've said everything.
Mm-hmm.
I can only say I love this movie so many times.
Exactly. And we really encourage you all. I know it's free on Pluto.
Yeah.
If for those of you that have Pluto's pretty cool. Like it's free, but it's like it's almost like you can flip through TV-esque channels and watch things on there. There are commercials, but whatever. It's free on Pluto TV.
Is that how you watched it?
No, I paid the $3.79 to rent it. Money well spent.
Yeah.
I should turn around and just buy the DVD.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a physical, if you can find the physical media of it, you keep it.
you were looking at it, and I was like, it's mine. You can't have it.
Yeah, all right. But you can rent it on Amazon. If again, Pluto TV.
Yeah.
If you are flipping through the movie stations one day and you land on Tango and Cash,
Watch it. Yeah.
If you like movies like this, just the whether it's seen as a carbon copy or cookie cutter or but the buddy cop movie was
formulaic,
huge in the 80s.
But it's a good formula.
Yeah, formulaic. Yeah. Exactly. It's a good formula, and when done well, you know, it's just as enjoyable, if not more, than movies that made the formula famous.
Yeah.
And this is one of those movies.
Mm-hmm.
And if you enjoy stuff like this, please watch Tango and Cash.
Yeah.
It is
worth your time.
It's also one of those things, I hope we're not building it up too much, and then people are like, I liked it, but it's not as great as you guys said it was.
Whatever.
Whatever. We have no time for you. No, but again, it may be recency bias, and just because all these elements fell into place so well, and just the ending was just the perfect exclamation point, the cherry on top of the movie. I loved it.
Yeah,
it was awesome, and I hope if you all get the chance to watch it, which again, please do, if you don't mind, you know, a few scenes of topless female nudity and a couple scenes
bottomless male nudity.
Yeah. Please watch it.
Yeah,
it's a great time,
mm-hmm.
and I would suggest this to anybody who loves 80s action.
Yep, agreed.
So that's all we gotta say. That's all I gotta say about that.
Yep.
Tango and Cash, that's the end of Sly July. We're excited for what we're gonna do in August.
Yep.
But until then,
be good to yourselves, be good to each other, because why would you want to be rude when you could be rad? We'll see you next time.
This concludes our broadcast day.